as Allison just said, I'm presenting the REACH project, and despite the fact that I'm not feeling really great, I'm really excited about this project, which is, as Allison said, a randomized trial of communication methods between public health agencies and healthcare providers. And just so you are not kept in suspense until the end, the acronym REACH stands for Rapid Emergency Alerting Communications in Health. And just to frame the context of our project, the REACH project operates through partnerships between the Center for Public Health Informatics, which conducts research at the University of Washington and has one of the Centers of Excellence in Public Health Informatics. Also, the Northwest Center for Public Health Practice, which is within the School of Public Health, it provides training and evaluation expertise for public health professionals in state, tribal, and local communities through the what we call the WAMEO region, which is Washington, Wyoming, Alaska, Montana, Idaho, and Oregon. And it's also under the umbrella of the Northwest Center for Public Health Practices Preparedness and Emergency Research Response Research Center, also called PERC. So we have a lot of acronyms that for the REACH project. And the PERC Center is funded through CDC's COTPER program and overall is examining best ways to reach essential or vulnerable audiences with critical information for emergency situations. So this is a presentation of the early stages of our project. So I'm reporting on our setup, our methods, our development, and piloting that we've done prior to the actual start, which begins next month. So for this audience, of course, we all know there's lots of different kinds of emergencies in our society. They can be urgent 911 calls, natural disasters, communicable disease outbreaks, and public health agencies need to be prepared for all health situations, and they need to be able to reach all audiences, because the success or failure of the response to emergencies largely depends on the success or failure of the communication. And so the REACH project is predicated on the assumption that an effective response to a public health emergency requires effective communication between public health and healthcare providers before, during, and after an event of interest or an emergency. And the question that the project seeks to answer is, what is the most effective way to communicate public health information of interest to healthcare providers? So, as we've already heard, a majority of health departments across the country communicate their alerts to various audiences, often using fax. Some use email. But the question is, which was just mentioned, how do you know that the fax that you sent to the hospital was delivered to the clinician, to the provider that you intended to go to? How do you know that they've not only received it, but if they've read the fax? So the primary aim of the REACH study is to compare email, fax, and SMS or text messaging on cell phones to determine which communication method is most effective for communicating public health alerts or other communications between public health agencies and healthcare providers. A secondary aim of our study is to measure the impact of public health alerting, if there is any, on healthcare provider-initiated notifiable conditions reporting. So in terms of the methods that we're using, one of the things that distinguishes this study of emergency alerting from is that the recruitment that we're doing is of both traditional and non-traditional healthcare providers. We're, of course, interested in learning about how to best communicate with physicians for emergency preparedness, but we're also interested in nurse practitioners, pharmacists, physician assistants, and veterinarians, who are healthcare providers that could benefit from the information contained in public health alerts. Our study includes three sites, two of them are in the state of Washington. One is King County, which is the largest urban area in the state of Washington and includes the city of Seattle. Kitsap County, which is on the Olympic Peninsula. It's kind of across. You get to take a really nice ferry ride over to Kitsap. And it has a population of approximately 250,000 and includes tribal populations, military populations as well. And then we're also including the entire state of Montana is our third site, which is comprised primarily of rural communities and is served by either 52 or 53 local public health departments, as well as the State Department of Public Health and Human Services. So recruitment is done through gathering lists from the state medical associations, as well as from the State Department of Health licensing for our providers. Recruitment letters are sent out to providers. And then following recruitment, healthcare providers who agree to enroll in the study are randomized to one of four groups for the duration of the study. They either receive public health alerts by fax, by email, by SMS, text messaging on cell phones, or they are in a control group which receives no alerts. It's a really, one of the things about this study that I quite frankly love is it seems really simple, and it's very, very tidy, I guess, and focused. So the alerts themselves are based on real events of public health interest, and we are sending out four alerts over a 15-month period, and one additional alert that contains training information that that is then linked to, at the Northwest Center for Public Health Practice, a training module to see whether or not, by including training information through this delivery method, if providers will also take advantage of that and use this information. Then after the alerts are sent, we are conducting telephone interviews that last about 5 minutes with each of the providers approximately 5 to 10 days after the alerts are sent. And we're measuring and comparing, as a way of measuring and comparing outcomes between communication delivery systems. So the outcomes of interest for this study are frequency and timeliness of the alerts, awareness of the message content, perceived credibility of the message by providers, and the frequency of notifiable condition reports to local or state health departments by healthcare providers who are in the study, and comparing those to providers who are not. In addition, we're tracking some other kind of interesting side information that we're gathering, such as we're tracking the response rate to recruitment by provider type. So, for example, veterinarians who are not normally included, or physician assistants who are not normally included in a study like this, or are not necessarily, there's not necessarily outreach for to those groups with alerts, do they enroll at a higher rate? Do they respond quicker when we send a letter out? Do they respond quicker to our enrollment package? Because we're keeping the time of the generation of a recruitment letter and then the date on which the enrollment package comes back from a provider, since this is all done by mail, we're tracking every single little thing like that. Okay. So at this point in the project, we've enrolled 532 providers in the first phase, which has focused only on King County. We've developed a message alerting system and data collection system that I'll talk a little bit more about next. And we've completed piloting to test the messaging system and the follow-up interview protocols. So I'm going to say a little bit more about the system and a little bit about the piloting next. So when we're notified by public health, and these are all public health alerts that are vetted by, in this first phase, by Public Health Seattle King County. when they tell us that there's an alert that needs to be sent out, obviously this needs to happen really, really quickly on our part. So after looking at a variety of options, we decided it would be most expedient to design a system that since I'm the person who is doing this, I'll refer to myself, so that when I get a notice that this alert needs to go out, I can just use email to send out the alert, no matter what the delivery type, whether it's SMS or fax or email. And so in order to send all the alerts out, what happens is I receive a message from the health department, and then I create three different email messages that are for each of the three intervention groups that also contain a URL to a web page with an update or a more information about the alert that I'm sending out. So I'm here, and I type in each of the three different messages. The fax and email content-wise will be the same. SMS, there are other challenges in sending out those messages that I'll get to. The alert email that I send out then triggers a query to the REACH database, which matches each one of these alerts to the provider that's randomized into their specific group. So, for example, the SMS message obviously will only go to providers who've been randomized into the SMS group. Most of the components of the system have been built using open source tools, plus one inexpensive vendor for sending out emails. And I just want to point out one thing here I'll come back to. TinyURL is a program that we're using. It truncates, it's online, a lot of people are familiar with it. It truncates long emails into about 26 characters, and when you're limited with SMS to 160 characters, every single one really counts. So the piloting we've completed has been amazingly invaluable. First, we piloted the system itself and, of course, had to make a lot of modifications to the system. We found lots of bugs in, all the standard testing that helps you create a better, more robust and reliable system. We needed to make modifications to the database itself and to the message generation system. For example, we had to figure out how do you send out email to 300 people and you don't get it blocked by spam filters. So we created a system that it's sort of a matter of what the database does is it generates this little script that puts a comma in between each one and sort of this additional comma that then sends out each one of the emails as if it's an individual email that I'm sending. So we did some little scripting there. The other issue, of course, is we needed to find out what would happen if we had the wrong email, if we had the wrong fax number. So in piloting, what we also did is we did a lot of messaging with intentional failures. We sent out messages to phony fax numbers, to people that we knew that had blocks on their text messaging because they didn't want their children to receive it, on their cell phones, things like that, and made up some fake email addresses. So we were able to then create scripts that would look at these intentional failures and inform us about how to improve our system so that we get from our log files an immediate response so we can try to make modifications. And one of the things also I know that I'd mentioned with sending out a message by email, as much as it meets our requirements for rapidly generating an alert, it also requires tailoring to a delivery device format. The most obvious is, of course, with SMS, where you're limited to 160 characters. We also discovered odd things. Like, in order to send a fax message over email, we needed to add in between 12 and 14 spaces before any paragraph so that it would actually create individual paragraphs when a fax machine then prints out the fax instead of one long running paragraph. And we also had to make adjustments with our email program to be sure that the text would wrap but wouldn't wrap the URL, because for some people, their email programs, if they click on a URL in an email and it moves to the next line, they get an error. And transforming an alert into an SMS acceptable format was probably the most challenging. I mentioned that we're using tiny URLs so that we can direct providers to a complete alert message. There are also issues that we're going to be investigating regarding the content. So what content parts or pieces of an alert need to be included in an SMS message so that we are certain that we're delivering enough information so that a provider will then click on the link that says for more information that's within their text message. So the other thing is our piloting included follow-up, you know, our follow-up interview questions that we're going to be conducting. And we also added a section when we were piloting on feedback on the interview itself, as well as the entire process of being a pilot in the study. And we had to modify the script in some kind of interesting ways. For example, one of our pilots who was in the SMS group, when we asked the pilot how she remembered receiving this message, she said, well, I read it on my email. She was in the SMS group. Her understanding is she's reading email on her cell phone. So we needed to change some of the wording of the questions that we were asking to be sure that we're following up. If somebody says, well, I read it in my email, we're asking specifically about what the delivery device is that they're recalling they received the message on. So, you know, it's piloting has been a really integral part of the study so far. So basically, so far as what the impact of this study is, what we're anticipating is that we believe that the study has the potential to impact public health practice through improving communication systems between public health and healthcare providers. And as important and timely information moves from public health agencies to healthcare providers, improvements, we're hoping, can be seen in the delivery of information and services to various community audiences, as well as early event detection and supporting situational awareness during a public health emergency. You know, knowing that providers receive timely information from public health through a delivery mechanism that works for them and is also more likely to be read sort of meets some of that business case that was spoken about this morning, that we need to have a good business case for doing this work, and we feel that this does. So I want to acknowledge our research team and collaborators, in particular Janet Baseman, who's the PI of the project, Andrew Strugatchis at the University of Washington, Jeff Duchin at Public Health Seattle King County, Scott Lindquist, who's the health director at Kitsap County Health District, and Steve Helgerson at the Montana Department of Public Health and Human Services. And we have a fairly wonderful group of people that we all work with at the university, and again under the umbrella of the Center for Public Health Informatics, the PERC Center, and the Northwest Center for Public Health Practice. So thanks for your attention and interest, and I know we have time for some questions now or at the conclusion. Yeah. They use the HAN. Right. Right.
Has this been coordinated at all with the health network in Washington?
So I might look at Mark, who's sitting here. Not that I know of. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, if you want to shoot me an email, I can find out, get more information, and send that to you. Yeah. Not yet. Not yet. We only have our piloting that we've done so far. The first set of alerts is going to start at the end of September. So that's our timeline at this point. Yeah.
What software platform do you use to build the
application? Well, this is where I'd rather have Chen answer you, who's not here. What I know is that she just has a relational database, you know, MySQL, and has incorporated, in order to send out the fax messages, we're using actually a vendor that's extremely cheap called MyFax. And so that's been kind of, so it's kind of a hybrid system. Yeah. It is. It's only about 12% of the total of all the providers that we made the request or we tried to recruit. So that is something that needs to be included in this study, which is looking at whether or not providers who enroll in a study like this, if there could be something different about them than other providers. One of the things that I can tell you is that we suspended recruitment during the H1N1 outbreak in the spring. And we were panicking prior to that because it seemed that we were getting probably about a 7% return rate, which was of all the from the recruitment letters, and we were getting very nervous about whether or not we could meet our target. And then following the H1N1 outbreak, when we sent out our recruitment letters, we received proportionately many more or a higher proportion of enrollees after that. So so one of the, you know, which all begs again the issue of, is there something about a provider who enrolls in a study like this that's different in some way? Yeah. Yeah.
Will you be asking questions of the providers as to their understanding of the alerts based upon which way they're getting the message?
So the questionnaire that we're using, we're asking providers to recall content, time or day that they received the alert. We're asking them to rank the utility of the content of the alert as well. And see, one of the complications is we have no way of knowing. So for example, let's say someone is in the email group. We are asking questions to try to find out whether or not they've actually received our alert, as opposed to an alert that could have been forwarded from anyone else, because there's no way of identifying the alerts, you know, in the header where it says who it's from. It's coming from the public health department. It's not coming from us, because we need to be sure that we don't bias people to think, oh, here's something new from this project I enrolled in. So the follow-up questionnaires are targeted at trying to get a sense of how credible the alerts are, as well as the content. Does that answer your question? Okay.